Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hey everybody, welcome to All the Small Games. Remember the indie game podcast that comes out sometimes? That's what this is. Andrew Levin's my name, John Valenzuela, his name.
Hey!
Podcast, begin!
Hey Levins, we are actually, this is set to be a killer episode because Levins, we are in the same room.
This is the first time we've been in the same room since we recorded our Best of the Year episode.
Yes.
Was that at the start of this year or the end of last year?
That was start of...
COVID.
Yeah, because I got COVID.
How many times have you had COVID since you had got COVID?
One baby.
So you've had it twice now?
No, I've only had it once.
Oh, okay. All right,
oh, wait. Since I got COVID. No, cool. That was the
one-timers. We fucking one-timer fist.
My daughter got it and just didn't somehow give it to us, which was fantastic.
That's great. You weren't sharing any beers with her?
No.
One day, brother.
Yeah, indeed.
My daughter turned 6 today.
Shared your first beer.
Good morning.
We're starting with Corona. It's a nice light beer, a breakfast beer, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got some fruit in it.
It's been very nice seeing cute photos of Tilly for her 6th birthday.
Yeah, it's she's my wild one.
Really?
So I have more photos of her than like anyone I've ever taken photos of in my life, I think.
Sure.
She's always, "Dad, take a photo of me." And if you don't, she'll kill you.
God bless you.
That's
Tilly.
Why she's drinking Coronas in the morning, so she has a weapon at night.
Yeah, right.
This podcast is called All the Small Games, and we used to be weekly, but now we are whenever we want.
Yes.
I think the goal is 4 episodes a year.
Yeah, definitely, with one of those being our Best of the Year episode.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And so 3 sober episodes, 1 shit-faced episode, I can proudly announce that my 6-year-old daughter will be joining us for that one. She's training now. We're going to do a little like catch-up on all the indie games we've been playing since we last recorded, which was early April, I think.
Yeah, around then. Yeah.
When is it now? August?
It's August. It's coming up on mid-August.
Okay. So yeah. 3 or 4 months.
Four-ish? Okay. April to May, May to June, June to July. Yeah, four-ish.
Okay, great. Four-ish. Four-ish months of indie games. I didn't think I'd played any. Turns out I've played about 10.
Sure. That's always the way. I was like, what's on my list? And then I put my list together and was like, I've been busy. This rules.
Yeah, I was thinking about, oh man, like, you know, it's the halfway mark. I don't know what my favorite indie games of the year are. Like, it's going to be so weird putting this list of games that I feel so about together at the end of the year. Then looking at what I've played, I'm like, oh no, I've played like kind of about the same, really.
Yeah, yeah. I've definitely, there's stuff that I'm still hanging out to play.
Mm-hmm.
Most notably is probably Bear and Breakfast.
Is it out yet?
It's out on PC. It's not on Switch.
No,
there's no information on... There's no information on when it could be released on Switch.
Switch isn't power enough to handle both Bears and Breakfast. They're going to release it in 2 separate parts.
The Breakfast is DLC.
Yeah,
just play a bear wandering through a blank space. But I think there's probably a couple of other little ones in there. But I've also been thinking about like the latter half of the year and what's coming out.
Well, Cult of the Lamb comes out tomorrow.
Today, but it'll probably be like your typical butt end of night. It's 11th of August, but it'll be 11th of August
and that's,
American
time. That's by Massive Monster, who did The Adventure Pals a few years ago.
Australian studio.
Love that company.
Cold
of the Land. Did you play the preview of that?
I did. I played the demo that came out.
Super amped. Apparently, like the the town sim stuff is like way more fun than the actual roguelike stuff. But
I
that's
did
fine.
The roguelike stuff. I was like, okay, this is kind of Binding of Isaac-ish. You move through like rooms. It's a bit schmuppy.
There are poos.
Yes. there's a fetus for some reason.
That sounds like Isaac.
But yeah, the it definitely felt like really robust town builder stuff that I reckon is going to be super fun, especially seeing how the two halves of the game feed back into each other kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's also like McPixel 3.
Everyone is waiting for that one. Devolver's publishing that too,
yes,
right?
Yes, they
That's
are.
That's great. And is it going to be phones or?
I think it's going to be main consoles to begin with. It could come to phones. I played the demo a while back. It's amazing. It's like they've complexified it in a way that really works for the game. I love that it's number 3 because they haven't made number 2. They just jumped straight to 3. And there's, what else, was there any, is there anything else on the horizon?
I mean, there's a bunch that I was looking forward to that have come out that I haven't touched, like Loot River, that I always, that was in my
library.
I
had a short go at Loot River on Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool, interesting concept.
Yeah. I apparently
that's my review.
It's a lot harder than people were expecting it to be, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely got that, I mean, it's the same of any roguelite where you start with just dog shit equipment. And you kind of have, like, it feels annoying until you've earned a few cool things, and then you're like, hey, I'm actually in the swing of this now.
Right, yeah, sure.
But you just got to make it through that first period. But the whole Tetris-y rafts things is, like, got some cool...
Yeah, I've got to give it a go. I think, yeah, knowing it's a roguelike normally would turn me off, but I think that means I would feel... I know I can go into that knowing it'll probably just be 1 hour.
Yeah.
And then I'll just give up on it.
You'll get the sense
like every
of it.
Other roguelike I've
you'll
played.
You'll get the sense of it by that point. I think I made it up to the first boss battle, got my ass handed to me.
Good for
and
you,
was
King.
Like, well, gotta go change the baby.
Yep. I've got to go back to not playing Hades now.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of not small games. This has been like...
I'm very curious. Hit me. What have you got?
At the moment, I'm like fucking waist deep in Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Having like, you know, I feel like I'm McPixeling it here.
Yeah.
Except I haven't played any of the ones before.
Right.
This is my first Xeno game. And I heard there were like these like big unwieldy like JRPGs. I know this is like, so like the unwieldy part definitely like, you know, is definitely there. But everyone always talks about how complex and difficult the controls are, but it's a lot less of an RPG and more of a like kind of almost like a MOBA, MMO kind of vibe.
Okay.
Where like it's like an auto battler and you stack combos. So your character is going to be attacking every 5 to 10 seconds, and then you have like extra attacks that you can add on top of. And then you end up getting a party of 6 that you can control and flick between. Like, so it's almost like a RTS kind of.
Sure.
Yeah, it was not what I was expecting at all. I love it. The cutscenes are way too like, you know, I wish you could skip through the dialogue
sure.
instead of just skipping the entire movie, because they look really good, but the dialogue, I'm like, yeah, I get what you're alluding here to, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah.
Are they paying you by the word? Just say it quicker.
Yeah.
No, I think Xenoblade Chronicles 3 I was watching a Nintendo Direct and I didn't know it at the time, but the trailer for that came up and I spent most of the trailer just cackling at how like overwrought and like dramatic everything was,
because this is like the dark one.
Yeah,
of like the last one was like way too whimsical and like far too British. This one's like a different type of British,
right?
And thankfully it's a type of British that you can turn off and put Japanese on instead. So I've done
the best
that.
Kind of British.
I wish it was you could choose which, like, just I want a Penrith accent
right.
on my Xenoblade.
I'd love it if they spread that through all British culture. So you're watching like only Fools and Horses. You can say like, nope, they're in Japanese now.
Yeah, perfect. Some mothers do have them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, surprisingly how much I love Xenoblade. I put like 10 hours into Multiverses.
Yeah.
I was just not seeing that happening. I wanted to give it a go. I bought my first ever Battle Pass.
Okay, wild.
Of
4 Multiverses.
Yeah, Multiverses is like the Warner Brothers, and I played it before the shit went down with
right.
Batgirl and HBO Max. All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was just something about like, I want to play as Bugs Bunny.
Of course, who wouldn't?
So I unlocked Bugs Bunny, and I play a lot of Finn is really fun to play
sure.
as from Adventure Time. I haven't unlocked the Iron Giant yet, but I feel like I've tapped out already at this point. But that was a fun week.
Did it have any like? Because I know with the most recent Smash Bros, they had that whole map thing where you
go around. It's not nothing made like for that. Single player all. You can play against bots. That's extended single player. Right, majority of it is like they want you to be paired with another partner,
right?
Either online or same system, and then you're going up against another partner. So it's like 2v2.
Okay.
It works really well.
Nah.
The like all the characters, the moveset, the love that's gone into them. Like there's some shit that is very broken with the game. It feels very early days, but I can tell there are things that are going to be patched.
I hear Bugs is like wildly overpowered.
He rules, man.
Yeah,
like I love Villager from Animal Crossing, and because he has like this like, you know, stupid rocket that he that flies across and crashes into people, and you can do that with Buzz, except you can point the rocket in different directions.
Ooh.
You can like jump up above people, and then he paints a safe, and then the safe crashes down.
Amazing.
And then you can kick the safe into people. Finn's similarly broken, but yeah, like they're apparently Velma rules to players as well from Scooby-Doo. But they released the information that unfortunately Rick and Morty are delayed.
Oh,
I don't know. Maybe if more people do jump on, if I had friends that were playing it, I'd be more inclined to pop in. But it was fun kind of going like, oh, here are the six missions we're going to try and do today. And you can, when you, the fun little cosmetic things that you can unlock, because you can unlock the entire roster just with in-game currency that you get from winning matches.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you know, have played 20, 30 matches with a player, you have enough coins to unlock another character.
Okay. Cool.
So it's not too like, you know, fuck, all I want is Iron Giant or whatever.
Yeah.
You can, other cosmetic things include like when you knock someone off the stage, like Smash style, it plays like an animation. Like, so one would be maybe like, you know, Darkseid's Omega Beam kind of like flying around, or Batman's, like the bat signal flies, like shines in the sky for a moment because you've knocked someone out. I bought the battle pass because I wanted, when I knock someone out of the thing, Porky Pig comes up on screen and it says, "That's all,
amazing,
folks." And I was like, yeah, obviously I want that. So that was $7 for the battle pass.
Okay. That's not too bad.
And actually maybe even less, it was like $3.50 or something. So nice. I still have that amount for a future battle pass maybe. But if they, I don't know, hopefully they add some interesting characters, more interesting than LeBron anyway.
I thought about it and was like, Warner Brothers would have like multiverses. There is almost infinite potential for like
Adult Swim
roster inclusion. Well, I was looking at like 1990s Warner Brothers movie. You could play as Michael J. Fox as Doc Hollywood, and just all these like random deep cuts from their film archive.
It'd be great if you could play as Master Shake. That would be like so fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or
all the Aqua Teen Hunger Force together, like the three of them.
Just Carl.
Just Carl.
You only get Carl.
I'm into that. That'd be great.
Be fantastic. Cool.
That's... what else have I been playing? I platinumed Ghostwire Tokyo.
Congrats.
Loved that. Just loved... It's not a good game, but it's a great... I had a great time playing it.
It's compelling.
Like, it's, you know, sorry, it is just good. It's good enough in terms of gameplay. But as an open world to discover things in, it's as good as it gets for me. I loved it.
Yeah.
I got my Switch here. I'm playing, trying to finish Splatoon 2 before Splatoon 3 comes out.
Sure.
Trying to finish...
having a 2 before a 3, rookie move. Just jump straight to
that's 3. A very good point.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. It's gone into Xenoblade. You it just wants me to play Xeno.
It just knows where to go now.
You know what? The majority of them now are... we're heading into indie territory.
Yeah.
How about you, Indy? Any big games?
I mean, no, not really. Like... SnowRunner. My SnowRunner addiction has come steaming back.
I thought you would have stopped playing that in solidarity with you, Ukraine.
I'm playing a Russian level. I'm just crashing into every building I come across. Like, this is for the good people of Ukraine. It's just, I think SnowRunner is just the game I play on Switch while I'm waiting for other games to come out.
Yep.
And like, I'm trying to be a bit better about not just frivolously buying games these days.
Mm-hmm. Like, no, I feel it.
Oh, I need that.
Well, you can't blame it on the podcast anymore.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I can't write everything off. So I've avoided that, like, because God, back in the like a pre-child, I should say, pre-Olive arriving, when I had more disposable income.
Yep.
I was definitely like, I need endorphins. I'm just going to go in the eShop and buy something. Like, that was my equivalent of like...
That's the real game.
I'm going to the shop and buying shoes kind of thing. But I've tried to stop myself from doing that and focus more on like, you have games, finish the games you have kind of thing.
Yep.
But I mean, like, Bear and Breakfast is something that I'm looking forward to and really want to play on Switch so I can really dive into it.
Mm.
but it's not out yet, and I don't just want to be like, I'm just going to buy whatever to fill the void.
Because you won't like it if it's on Steam. Like you,
it's. I'll play it for 2 hours, and then like the beauty of Switch, and it always has been that, is that I can bring my Switch to work.
Yep.
And work is weirdly where I get the most time to play video games because of lunch breaks and whatnot.
We worked out today that John works in an old warehouse space that, well, it's like refurbed now, but it used to be like when we first met each other, we would go to these hideous art parties in this warehouse.
Yeah.
And there was this guy whose full performance name was Justice Yeldum and the Dynamic Ruben Device.
Really?
And he would basically attach a bunch of contact mics to a pane of glass and then like yell into the glass, and the vibrations from that would come through the contact mics, and like then he would like that would be connected to a bunch of pedals and reverb and blah blah blah. So it was a hideous amount of noise, and it would get louder and louder, and then he would end up smashing the glass over his face, and like it would be covered in blood. I saw that in your current workspace at least twice.
Yeah,
I didn't enjoy either experience.
It was very weird when we moved offices here, and I was like, huh, hey, oh, that's weird. It has been very refurbed, but as Levin's pointed out coming in today, it is Justice Yeldum's dream because there is glass everywhere.
There's no walls, just glass.
He could put on a hell of a performance.
You suddenly like open up a parcel and there's 4,000 contact mics. And you're like, whoa, no.
But yeah, so I've been doing that. And that's just, it's time burning essentially while waiting for other stuff to come out, or like waiting for a payday when I can go, hey, I'll buy this.
Yeah.
But I mean, my most recent purchases on, like there are a couple that came out over the last couple of months that I was like, day one-ish kind of thing.
That's the one, yeah.
I reckon, which we can both talk about, is Portal. The Portal collection.
Yeah,
basically shadow dropped onto Switch after a direct.
Well, I mean, a true shadow drop is when it's just like announced and here it is.
Ah, yes, of course.
But this was like, yeah, like I give it on a shadow drop level, I give it a 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But yeah, it was good to finally get this collection of Portal 1 and Portal 2. I know a lot of people laughed that, like, you know, these very readily available games were finally coming to Switch, but truth be told, they'd never actually been available to play. Like on a console since the Xbox 360, the orange box. And apparently those Portal ports were awful.
Yeah, they weren't. I only ever played on PC, but it's wild that, like, because Portal is a hugely important game in the in the continuity of gaming, and it had been on the cards I think for ages that Portal was coming to Switch, which is why it was.
Was it announced like at the very start of the year, I think.
More a case of like, it's something that people have been like, bring Portal to Switch for ages, because it's one of those like fill out the Switch's game library with these classics from other consoles.
I played Portal on PS4, specifically the Portal level of Lego Dimensions.
And how was that?
Actually, pretty fun.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I have a like a Portal minifig.
Oh, cool.
The chick with a gun. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Her name is Chick with the Gun.
Yeah.
But I'd never played Portal through in its entirety. I think I bought it on my Mac years ago and played like a couple of... I didn't even get the second Portal gun.
Sure.
So, you know, I was just able to complete the Portal. Like, you know, as in like the orange one already exists. You can shoot a blue one. I loved that you actually like... There's a level where you get the second one.
Yeah.
I love how well-structured it is. We fired it up, me and both the kids, to play, and the kids were loving it so much until a robot had a gun, and that just like the stress of that was just too much for both kids. So I finished it by myself.
Okay,
I had a really good time. I think the later levels are more annoying than they are clever. It's a lot of like going back and forth, and it's less. I feel like you with the threat of like dying in Portal, it's less fun to like experiment.
By later levels, do you mean post-testing or still during the testing?
There's post-testing levels.
So with Portal, you run up to a certain point where GLaDOS, like, she's like, here's another test. Oh, no, you finished testing. Here's your cake. And she tries to kill you.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
And you can then jump out of the testing protocol.
Oh, I've not done that.
Oh, really?
I just thought, I was like, oh, cool, I got to the cake level at the end. Okay, right, shit.
No, there's, okay, I need there's to keep more. Going. There's okay. a lot more.
Okay, right.
Including a voice role from, who was the lead guy of Faith No More?
Mike Patton. Who we're going to talk about again in another game.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. He has an unexpected voice cameo in that game.
Interesting. Okay, I need to actually properly finish Portal then.
Yeah. And if, like, once you do that, please, God, play Portal 2.
It's a million times better, right?
I've always seen it like for me, this was going back to super familiar territory because I've finished both of these games before and it was just awesome to experience them again on this console that I love, and they're great ports. They look fantastic.
They are, except for one bit, the loading in the elevator when it like just straight up just like turns off for a bit and then comes back
yeah.
on.
Yeah. I mean, with any, like, I've almost started to defeatedly accept that loading on the Switch is always going to be a bugbear, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, there are some games that are, like, Nintendo games tend to be super optimized for it.
Yes.
And then games developed for other consoles, there's always going to be that, like, okay, I'm going to pull my phone out and just quickly check Instagram or Twitter. And, oh, okay, I'm back in the game now.
But the loading doesn't take very long. It just, like, the game just stops for a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's odd.
I've always seen it as Portal 1 was sort of a proof of concept of that type of game.
Sure.
Because the original game was based on a 2D version, which I think was like a student project called Narbacula Drop. And so Valve kind of went like, hey, you guys come and work for us. Bring this game. Let's build it up to something a lot bigger. So it lays the groundwork for all the kind of, you know, for using portals as a kind of puzzle thing. And introducing the character of GLaDOS and her, you know, devotion to testing and all that kind of stuff. It's a great proof that that kind of game can work. Portal 2 takes all of that and just goes, great, let's crank this shit up to 11. just your introduction to where, like, the whole intro section of Portal 2 is incredible.
Great.
So fantastic, particularly with Stephen Merchant. Doing the, like, Stephen Merchant is the main voice. Merchant? Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephen Merchant is the main voice.
J.K. Simmons
has his role is one of, I think, like, some of the best dialogue written in video games.
Great.
Just because he does, like, the most insane character. They introduce all these new mechanics to the puzzles that make it so much more satisfying. The environment you're in and the way it evolves over the time during the game is so compelling. Yeah, like, obviously, avoid the cake and finish the first game.
Yep.
And then go into the second while you're fresh and just, you'll love it.
Okay.
It's so good. But I get where...
Finally, I can understand the controlled alt-delete webcomic.
Right, yeah.
Is that one?
I think so. Yeah.
The one that... How do we know if the gamers are at the party? And then someone says, where's the cake or whatever? And
the cake is alive.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Look, I
maybe control delete is loss. I can't remember.
I won't deny that. Controller, like that or Penny Arcade, either one of the two. You've now multi-classed to two new webcomics. But yeah, look, if you've never played Portal before, either of the portals, 100% grab them on Switch. If you have played them before, 100% grab them on Switch because it's just great to revisit. And of course, because of the nature of Switch, for Portal 2, you can then play the multiplayer levels together.
Yep.
Which I've never done, but I hear they're pretty great.
Trying to find this shitty webcomic.
All the things to be searching for, Levins.
What other indie games have we both played? Stray?
Stray, yes.
I thought this was a PlayStation exclusive, so I was very surprised to learn that you're playing it.
PlayStation are now rolling more of their games out to PC.
Like, there you go. Normally they make you wait a couple of years. Like Spider-Man just came to PC.
I think they're speeding up a bit. Like,
well, clearly. This is day and date, I think.
They're catching up. A lot of their AAA titles are now coming to Steam and whatnot.
Mm.
And I almost feel like the Stray guys would have been like, look, console exclusive, but release on PC at the same time. Because generally, I mean, Stray's done fairly well, but I think we've discussed before that PlayStation are generally pretty shit at marketing indies.
Yeah, I mean, this is Annapurna, right? This is Annapurna. Was it a PlayStation?
It's Annapurna, yeah. So it's PlayStation exclusive
with PC for Annapurna. So you're right, it's not actually a PlayStation game.
Yeah. But yeah. PlayStation still would have negotiated console exclusivity. And I'm very curious if it will ever make its way to Xbox.
And then, like, Shuhei Yoshida, he's now, like, he was a bit head up at, like, I think he was the main dude for PlayStation for a while, but now he's the main dude for PlayStation Indies.
Ah, cool.
So I think he is putting a lot more resources into. I know he's been pushing Cult of the Lamb very heavily as a PlayStation game.
Sweet.
Good luck, buddy. I'm playing that on my Switch.
Yeah, same. What'd you think of Stray?
I've not finished it yet. Again, another game that I was so excited to play with the kids, and then the cat falls down the fucking hole. And Tilly was like, "Whoa, the cat fell down the hole." I'm like, "Yeah, I saw it too." I'm fairly sure she's going to climb out of the hole at some point. Relax. But a game that I thought I'd be able to play the entire way through with my kids, but one of them is terrified of it.
There are some sections, like the bits where you're getting chased by the Zerks.
Tilly would
need therapy. The Zerks are
they're just like dumb blobs, though. I don't know. Like, I don't think that's the scary part. It was, yeah.
How far did you make it in?
Yeah, look, I maybe not far enough.
I'm thinking.
I ate the cake and the robot killed me. Should I have done something different?
People in our Discord have definitely given me shit for spoiling stuff.
Okay, don't worry about it. Just leave it.
I'll leave it. Yeah. But there's really creepy bits towards the middle of the game.
Well, because I was kind of like, oh, this is pretty much just every PlayStation third person adventure game, except you're a cat.
Sure.
Like, it doesn't, all the mechanics in it, the puzzle solving, the like semi parkour esque kind of way you move around, jumping from, you know, line to line, from broken pipe to corrugated iron roof.
Yeah.
That's just like, it just feels like the extension of like your Uncharted's, your Concrete Genies.
I think it definitely, like, the way you traverse, where it's very like, you can't, it's semi free run in that you are limited to what you can jump to, but if you hold down the A button and just run in a direction, the cat figures it out itself.
Yeah.
Which is great. But there are moments definitely where, like, and you get this with any 3D game, where just camera positioning screws you over, essentially.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
A lot of like going up the side of a building trying to jump from like air conditioner unit to awning, it can take a while to position the camera in a way that it then goes like, yes, this ledge is an option. And that, and you know, in the meantime, you'll get a lot of judder and stuff like that. But
yeah, look, I like it. I thought I was going to love it, but I don't love it. I think it's fine.
I definitely enjoy the world it's set in. Like, I spent that first area in the village, like, I spent ages just wandering around, kind of being like, whoa, this is a cool kind of...
But are there things to get, like, by exploring? That was, like, the big thing for me. It just felt like this empty space that you can explore, but you don't really need to.
There are. They're few and far between. Like, there's a busker in that first village. You can go and collect songs from him. But it was one of those things where it's like, it unlocked all these, like, you hand him the song, he plays the song for you, but then there's no way to go back. Like, I was hoping it would be like, hey, do you want to hear one of the songs? And you can select, like, play this one again kind of thing. I never found a way to do that. So it's just like, and some of the songs I was like, this is a good song, I really like this. Oh, I can never hear it again, apparently, until I restart the game. So that was odd. I'm in the same position. I just love exploring the world and getting the feel for like this civilization that has been created out of these robots. I do like the parkoury element to it, but I think I'll do like 5 minutes of like, wow, exploring, and then I'm like, let's just get on with this, let's carve through it. There is one thing that I really love, and it's, did you ever...
What is it, Amory?
Did you ever... You probably would have. You settle, like, you find a place where the cat can nap.
Yes, yeah.
I just loved that you do that, and the camera pulls slowly, slowly, slowly back from the cat, showing more and more of, like... It was just, I've seen so many... There are so many games where you can sit, but it doesn't necessarily do anything with that sitting.
Yeah.
You're just like, hey, your character model's plonked down.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't really gone into detail about how good the cat animations are.
Yeah.
The way the cat interacts with different things. It's really cute. I feel like it almost goes against how faithful they've done the cat's movement, that the cat is solving, like, you know, standard PlayStation action puzzles by, like, you know, holding... Like, I kind of wish it was a little more Goose Game.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I watched the Donkey review of this, and he was pointing out, like, it's weird that you as a cat would be called upon to solve the problems being experienced.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, exactly.
By this robot thing. And I feel like it would have, it'd be more satisfying if you inadvertently did it.
Yep.
Like, you're a cat. You're just like, I'm going to go up here and knock this paint can off this ledge. But in doing that, you'd like Rube Goldberg a solution to something. Yeah. I think would feel a bit more,
which would be way trickier to do, and maybe not the tone of the for the they're going for this. But also, like, I'm like, why does my cat want to be a hero? I don't, like,
but it's also weird that, like, you're a robot, like, the companion you have in your backpack is this robot that talks to you. But what the fuck does a cat understand? It feels slightly fourth wall breaking in that it's like, I know this robot's talking to me.
Yeah.
And I'm controlling this cat. It, like, there's a bit too much understanding of that's the way it is, whereas that makes it hard to lose yourself and just be like, I'm a freaking cat.
Yeah.
That's why I loved the opening bit.
Me too.
Before it fell down the hole.
I thought that would last for much longer. But yeah.
Where you're just like, I'm just roaming around and meowing a bunch and hanging out with other cats.
Yeah, and I thought we were going to like get up to some mischief as a cat gang.
Yeah, that would have been cool. I did also like when you fell down the hole and you're first making your way through the city, that when you meow, it's before you meet up with your robot pal, when you meow, the security cameras nod.
Yeah, and they also, like, if you meow, it kind of points you in the direction of where you should
lights,
be heading.
The lights indicate, and, like, if you're near TVs, the TVs will, like, flash arrows and a picture of a cat and stuff like that. I liked everything up until you met the robot. I was like, this is sick. And then when it really started to get into, like, go fetch this key.
Yes, exactly.
Do this, do that. I'm like, all right, fine. This now feels very standard.
All right, the next indie... I feel like we're not really talking about, like, particularly indie games. Like, we've talked about two, like, beloved games published by one of the richest companies in video games at the moment. We had talked about, Annapurna. I feel like we weren't going to be allowed to call them an indie for a little bit longer. Like, they're a pretty wealthy publisher.
I mean, unfortunately, we're going to have to throw Devolver under that category as well.
They have indie aesthetics.
They had a massive IPO. They are super successful. Yes,
that's very true.
but, nonetheless.
And then this next game is... I guess indie, but it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge,
yeah.
I played this one I did play the entirety of with my kids.
Oh, wow.
We played it on the easiest mode, but it was just a great game for them all to play. And, like, Archie was just really good at just being the, like, guy you send in first. He takes all the hits, and then I come in and, like, you know, clean them up for him.
Right.
He was our tank.
Tilly's just circling in the background.
You know what, dude? Archie, like, we got all the way to the end. We beat the first boss, and then, like, all beat 'em up games. This is a brawler game, if you weren't aware of it. It's by the same guys who did the Streets of Rage game.
And Pilgrims?
People who worked on Pilgrim Game now work at Dotemu.
Okay.
It's published by Dotemu, who published the Streets of Rage game, but this was developed by the same guys that did one of our fucking favorite games. My favorite game, Flint Hook.
Right. Okay.
Same visuals as those guys.
Cool.
But yeah, was it Tribute Games? Maybe
could be.
Could be wrong. Could be wrong with that one. That might be a massive Japanese arcade company. Oh well.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get to the final boss and you beat the final boss, but then second final boss.
Oh, yeah.
And Archie died. And so it was just Tilly and I, and the final boss, you have to, like, disable things on the screen so you can wail on the main boss. And Tilly and I did it together.
Oh, wow.
And, like, yeah, it was, like, a really sick moment. And, like, Archie's like, Tilly, you're not being fast enough. Then Tilly goes, at least I'm not dead. She's getting owned by a five-year-old. That fucking rules. But yeah, that was like that. That's one of my favorite gaming moments of the year.
Oh, understandable. Playing through that.
It was like, get up early before school today, kids. Come on, get ready. Fucking hurry up. We want to play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I want to get three levels in before school
today.
You don't
need to brush your teeth. It's a lie.
But yeah, did you have a good time playing it?
I did. It was any level that wasn't a goddamn flying level.
Oh, they sucked. Yeah,
the
yeah.
flying level and the level where you're like on any level on a hoverboard. Yeah. I was like, this is horrible to
because
play.
Because it was really hard to figure out where the positioning of enemies were.
Yeah.
Like above you, around you. Yeah,
especially the enemies that were flying above you.
Yep.
It was just like I lost so much health to them. Yeah, trying to work out like, am I kicking them? Am I kicking them?
They're kicking me.
Yeah. Whereas all the kind of ground-based levels were... Yeah, look, I had fun. It's a very well-made brawler. I played through... I was just Leonardo for my first playthrough. Like
the I was
first,
Don. The I was Donatello. Archie was Michelangelo until he was April.
Interesting. Okay.
The supers and stuff are so much fun.
Yeah. But herein lies the rub. I think it's a game that's very built around multiplayer.
Yes.
Because you can do, like, I was looking through the kind of, like, in-game achievements that you can unlock. And so many of them are, like, heal a teammate.
Of course.
Like,
yeah, sure.
Emote with a teammate. Pair up with a teammate and do a power move, etc. I'm just like, I'm not going to be able to... I have no plans to sit down and play this game with somebody. So I'm not going to be able to tick any of those off. I'm never going to play this as a multiplayer. And so I finished with Leonardo and, you know, obviously leveled Leonardo all the way up to the top. And then it's like, cool, there are like six other endings you can discover as you play through with the different characters.
I mean, by ending, it's just an image.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But I was just like, I was like, okay, well, okay, here we go, Michelangelo. And I think I got up to the third level and I was just like, this is all the same.
Absolutely it is. Yeah. Yeah. But like, yeah, if you're playing through that with some friends, it's like a 2-3 hour campaign.
Yeah.
That's a fun afternoon.
Yeah, I will admit that there's about, what, 14 levels? And they're all like... You can finish them between 7 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not super lengthy. But
I love the overall, like, it looks great. The pixel art's wonderful, and all the Easter eggs, it's crazy. Like,
yeah, I finished all the, like, finding all the little things you have to find throughout the levels, and I was half-heartedly working on the challenges. Because each level has, like, you know,
one of them is like, don't take any damage. Like, that shit is never gonna happen.
The first level is take no damage, and I was like, no. But I will say it was one of those games where there's one level towards the end, like in the latter half of the game, where there's like a mid-level boss and then a final level boss.
Yeah.
And I would lose so many lives on the mid-level boss that the final level boss was just, I couldn't get through.
Oh, damn, yeah.
And it was one of those, like, okay, get good. Like, work out how to get good. And so I, like, honed my dodging and, like, instead of just spamming attacks, I would be like, attack, attack, dodge away, move up here, da, da, da. And finally made it through that one. And there are some interesting... I mean, there's one boss in particular that has a really interesting mechanic to it. The one where it's like a robot shredder, and then it would go to, like, that... first person view of him.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And I like lost so many times to that until I realized there's a move you can do where you throw an enemy at the screen.
Oh, and you could throw it at Shredder.
You throw it at him and it would he'd click back to normal on screen again. And I was like, all right, look, that is
cool. I never realized that.
But it was one of those, like, I kind of wish they spread a bit more of that inventiveness throughout some of the other ones.
Yeah, I feel like with brawlers, you know, you just kind of know what you're signing up for. Like, I mean, I was excited for that Scott Pilgrim game to come back to Switch, and I started playing, and I was like, oh, this game's actually, like, you got to be in the mood for it.
It is what it is.
Well, I think Ninja Turtle is definitely better than Scott Pilgrim Brawler.
Interesting.
For me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, there's more complexity to your moveset.
It just is prettier as well. There's more enemy variation, more background gags, that kind of stuff. That's what makes brawlers fun.
It's not just fat scar dudes.
Yeah, exactly, with baseball bats.
Yeah.
Is that it for games that we've both played?
I think we've wrapped up our crossover now.
Well, what about a game that I played that you've already played, and that is Elekhead, which finally came to Switch.
Yes,
this
of
is
course.
One of your favorite games of last year that you played on PC. It developed by one Japanese dude. It's a game where you play as a little robot who can throw his head. The electricity is in his head. So you have to basically solve a bunch of electricity-based puzzles using the move of throwing your head.
Yes.
And it is, there's some real head scratches in the mix, to the point where neither John and I have actually finished the game.
Yeah.
We've got to the end of it, but not the true end. And I cannot for the life of me work out what I've gotten close to. I found, like, a new path that opened up, and they end up, your head flips around, so it's upside down.
Whoa, okay.
But then as soon as you die, it goes back to normal. So I don't know if you need to hold... It's a whole thing.
Interesting.
I feel like maybe if I just tried to find a few Let's Plays or something like that, I'd be able to work it out. But I played that with Archie, like, he and I, like, kind of taking turns after the other one died. His patience for it was pretty good. Like, usually where it's games where you die and die repeatedly, he's like, oh, play something else. But it wasn't until like the end where I was like, hold on, let me try and figure this out. And he was just like, you know, losing his patience almost immediately when I'm just, you know, doing the same fucking death over and over again. But very cool game. Some amazing puzzles. I love all different environments. Great sound. Great pixel art.
Great curve as well in terms of difficulty. Like,
it gets tricky as shit.
Ooh, like, super tricky. But it's not like, it doesn't feel like it ramps up quickly. It feels like it's a gentle enough curve that you're like, well, I solved the last one. I can solve this one.
Yeah, there is actually like a lot of things you miss in your first playthrough because you learn you can do moves later in the game.
Well, there's a ton of pickups. You pick up all the chips, I think,
throughout those levels. So I do. Yeah, it is a game that I probably will just go back and just start fresh on and see if I can do a 100% completion run or something.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's a good game.
Yeah.
And super. No one can take that away from it. Not even us. Glad I played it. Everyone should get it. It was pretty cheap too, Elekhead.
Yeah, I think so. Between 15 and 20 maybe?
Something like that. It was a good platformer puzzler.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to be like a game that I recommend to anyone with a Switch, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
Very fucking cool.
What have I got on my
list? Let's just like choose games that we can review quickly.
All right.
I got shitloads.
Hit us with another one then.
Okay. Poinpy.
Right. The Netflix's big This Will Save the Company game.
Yeah, okay. Well, Netflix have been going through some shit, all right? Yeah. But they decided
it's a while ago. Completely defensive.
A while ago. Well, I like this game. I feel like a lot of people are taking out their Netflix-based rage on a game that is good.
Yeah.
It's made by the same guy who made
Downwell,
yeah. But with music by the same guy who did the music for Pikuniku.
Ooh.
Which Archie and I played through all the two-player campaign.
Oh, hell yeah.
Recently. Very, very cool. And then Archie played all the single-player by himself too.
Nice.
In fact, finished it with B, my wife, who seldom gets brought up as a video game player, but I'm here to tell the world she's a dork too. Poinpy is a game that you play on your phone, but you need a Netflix
account
to be able to play it. I was under the impression that everyone just had one, and until they get truly awful, they're just going to stick with that for the rest of their lives. Do you still have your Netflix account?
Yeah.
You'd talk more shit on Netflix than anyone I know.
And when have I talked shit on Netflix?
Literally 30 seconds
ago. Yeah, there was barely any shit. Like, I wasn't like, Netflix is the worst thing I've ever watched. It has a bunch of shows that I like to watch. I have no beef.
Yeah, I know. They cancel all the good shit. And like especially, you know, John and I are big animation heads and lots of projects we were excited for got fucking shit canned, which is lame.
Just like Tuca and Birdie getting cancelled after one season.
Bone getting boned yet again.
As they announce like three more seasons of Big Mouth. I'm like, maybe take one of those and give it to Tuca and Birdie. But I mean, Tuca and Birdie got picked up by
Adult Swim. Yeah.
Great show. Anyway.
But yeah, Poinpy is a really, really good addictive phone game, just like Downwell was, where this one you are playing a little dude who has to collect fruit to basically there's a monster chasing after you as you go up and up and up. Did you ever play that game Doodle Jump?
I know of it.
It's like you're kind of like in that. It's just the ultimate. Like you're moving your phone to the left and right to make your character move from side to side as it jumps up on platforms. Yeah.
One of the like early super successful mobile games.
So this one, it's similar. You're making your way up and up some trees. You're collecting fruit. You're aiming with your finger and releasing any jumps in the direction that you're holding. There is a monster below you of constantly chasing up your ass, and you have to get the right combinations of fruit to make it a smoothie. Which then like calms him down, because if he waits too long for a smoothie, he breathes fire and you get burned. You have like two or three hits that you can take. There's enemies, there's power-ups. If you collect all these gems, you can actually like power your character up. It's a lot of fun. The music rules. It's by the same dude who did Pikuniku. So what do you expect? Mm-hmm. That guy fucking rocks. I already have a Netflix subscription. This was cool. I wish it was just on Apple Arcade, but I have Netflix logged into on my phone. It didn't need to like, I didn't need to enter any details in. It just automatically registered that I had Netflix on my phone and allowed me to play Poinpy.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Cool.
It's difficult.
Right. Okay.
My high score is shithouse, but
is it like level based or is it just continuous and
the levels do change. I think there are like boss fights and stuff, but I'm not good enough to get there yet.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Cool.
I don't pay for the Netflix premium, so they won't let me play for the boss fights.
What else have I played lately? So, in the vein of Portal, there was a game or a trio of games coming to Switch that I was quite excited for called Shadowrun Trilogy. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of kind of classic CPRGs, so your original Fallouts and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely
brown games.
So yeah, exactly. So many of them are fantasy based, and I don't really care about that. For anybody who's like, oh, what about like Baldur's Gate?
This guy
and
wants
stuff?
To fuck an elf.
Yeah. Well, weirdly enough, with this you can, because Shadow, like the whole thing of Shadowrun is like, it's some year in the future when magic has returned to Earth. So it's this weird blend of like magic and technology, and you can like build your character up as like a hacker. Or someone that can control drones with their mind kind of thing. But you can also be a mage,
mm-hmm.
or like that kind of thing. I was always just a street samurai because that Mad. Sounds fucking cool.
Definitely.
Anyway, so yeah, there's three games in the Shadowrun trilogy. There's original Shadowrun, which has sort of been reworked a lot. There's Shadowrun Hong Kong, and there's Shadowrun Dragonfall.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought the whole trilogy, just being like, hell yeah. And I'd like I played through the first one, then I think I played Portal, then I played through the second one, and then I played Portal 2. I was like, I can't just go full yep. CPRG for a month on end. I need to bounce back and forth between the two. Look, it's cool. I love that there's this kind of game on Switch. That reminds me, I think I should see if the Wasteland games are on Switch. I could play that again. But one thing, because these are kind of like, these are classic games, classic PC games. One thing I found really interesting playing through was like how much they changed and improved the game from the first one to the second one. So, you know, from the original Shadowrun through to Shadowrun Hong Kong. Because the first one is very linear. Like you kind of, you know, it's like, hey, you're this streetwise person that like runs crazy jobs and like you need to investigate your friend and why your friend died. But then it's like you are sent to a location and you will have a conversation at that location. And then you are sent to another location and you will have a fight at that location, which, you know, then sends you to the next one. You have
right, yeah, sure.
Over and over and over again. They didn't, like, apart from one or two instances where it's like, hey, do you want to earn some extra money? Go do this job for me. It's very kind of linearly done. And whenever you, like, do hacking stuff in cyberspace, it's always turn-based, and once you've kind of cleared out all the enemies and done what you need to do, it's super annoying to have to get back to where you like can log out in a turn-based fashion. And so in the second game, it takes more, like it starts with a linear thing of going like, you and your partner have come to Hong Kong, and now you're embroiled in this crazy thing that's going on. Once you get through that first little hit of story, it's now like, cool, you're a shadow runner. There is a computer at your base. Go there and get missions. And so it gives you a lot more freedom of like, oh, I'll take that mission next. Or I'm going to go take this instead. Or I'm going to wander around the neighborhood and talk to people. And hey, well, I picked up a crazy mission through like just finding it in the environment sort of thing. It felt a lot more satisfying and more in keeping with the sort of character that you are, or the role you play in the game.
Sure.
They also do, there's a cool thing where like in the first one, if you needed a team, you had to hire that team. And I ran into a point where I'd like earned up a bunch of money and I was like, I'm going to have a little bit of a pamper and treat myself and buy like electronic eyes and like a biomechanical
just like
leg.
Real life.
Yeah, exactly. And like cool new guns and outfits and stuff. And then I went to go on the next mission. And it's like, cool, hire a team. And I was like, I only have enough money for one person. It's the worst person.
I'm going
to
hire a team of electric eyes.
Yeah. So it was the cool thing in the second one is it's like you have a team already. And as you
right.
play through, you improve their skills. And
yeah, it's funny when like, yeah, I've been buying a lot of collections of games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you get like halfway through the one. I mean, Portal is a good example. And you're like, this thing annoys me. Like, oh, yeah, don't worry. The second one gets rid of all that. Like, I've been playing Klonoa.
Okay.
The Klonoa games, which are really fun platformers. But the first one feels very dated in a way that apparently the second one doesn't.
Cool.
I've been playing through Bayonetta 1 before Bayonetta 3 comes out. Everyone's like, just skip through to Bayonetta 2. And I'm like, no, I must play the first one. But, yeah.
Completionist. But yeah, I have yet to go in on Dragonfall, and I'm interested to see how they've, again, like, have they evolved the game from Hong Kong and done other stuff that way? Or is it just they went like, we've perfected it with Hong Kong, Dragonfall's much the same?
Is it true that in Dragonfall, after like the first like maybe 100, 200 in each chapters, it pivots from being like a more comedy-based series to just like purely battle?
What Shonen Jump nonsense
Dragon,
are you
Dragonfall Z. It's a great right. joke.
Gotcha. You son of a bitch. Yeah, like I said, I've still got to play the third one. I'm sure I'll get to it soon. But if you're a fan of those turn-based CPRGs,
I know you are.
Definitely. I mean, the beauty as well is they're standalone. There's no continuing story. So cop at least Hong Kong.
Nintendo never significant discounts on their games, but you should watch list a game that came out last month called Live Alive, which is
I know the one.
HD 2D remake of a game that was never came from the SNES to, it was only released in Japan, but sure. I think you would really like it.
Okay. Is that the one where it's like you play through a bunch of different time frames?
Yes. Yeah.
There's like cavemen and...
Yeah, and cool. Ancient China and it's fucking very cool. Wild West, cowboy shit.
Hell yeah.
Near future, far future.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, so is it my turn? I've got Neon White.
Great.
Did you play any of that?
I played the demo.
Yeah.
I've yet to pick it up. Full version. If I had to review it in 2 seconds, I'd say fantastic gameplay, terrible story.
Could not agree more.
Yeah,
I got like maybe two and a half hours in, and was trying my best to avoid all the shitty dialogue.
Yeah,
and then it's like, oh, there's matchmaking elements, and you've got to do this thing for this person, and I just wish there was a way you could turn off having to interact with anything besides the gameplay. Like, it should just be gameplay only.
Yeah.
I hate the dialogue in this game so much. And it was written by a guy who does writing for OK Go, which is a Cartoon Network series that I quite like. So yeah. it annoys me that it's so shitty.
And just, yeah. I mean, the obviously I only got a little hit of it through the demo, but I was like, I very quickly... It became uncomfortable in that way that, like, very internet anime and manga kind of stuff where it's like, teehee, a handsome boy, all for me. Like,
Very uwu-ish.
And I'm just like, ugh.
And apparently it's true. Like, people have been defending it saying, oh, it's meant to be that on purpose. And I'm like, oh, I doubt it.
It's still, regardless of intent, it's still not something that I enjoy. Like, you're not going to be like, oh, no, it's on purpose. And I'm like, oh, great. Well, then it's fantastic. Like,
yeah.
It's just something I'm not into. The gameplay itself is great. Like having speed running as a kind of central mechanic to it, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
The only issue I have with that is I am trash at really twitchy first person games.
Because I came straight from that off the back of Ghostwire Tokyo, which is another first person game. I actually was all right. I always thought that I hated first person games, and now I'm like, oh, maybe I like these.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like, I didn't really like Boomerang X last year very much. Sure. I liked the idea of it, but I just the like moving around wasn't very fun. The enemy variation was shit. This was a much better version of what Boomerang X was trying to be in being like a really crazy platform action, like first person shooter / platformer. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I just kept moving through the levels. I never really was like, okay, I'm going to circle back and hone my run through this. And I think I'm probably not great at looking for those shortcuts.
It really pushes you to find them. The language of the game, because it explicitly like tells you to go. Like, you know, it's like if you may as well not be playing the game unless you're, you know, getting gold or platinum trophies for every level.
Yeah.
So you just kind of, you get good at reading where you think.
Gatekeep Neon White much.
Well, that's what it, yeah, I mean, I, no, as in like, the game kind of is like
it's
insinuating that you suck ass if you don't get the
trophies. I think progress is gated, isn't it? Like
some of them times, yeah. And like, yeah, it's like also progress for all the bullshit I don't want. Like,
yeah,
you know, you get gifts. The final thing once you perfect a level is you get a gift
to give
to some horribly written shithead in the game.
Yeah,
the dream.
Yeah,
that's so, Neon White.
It's fun, but have your phone out for all the all the dialogue.
No, there is. You can just skip it. I was skipping it all, but then there is some stuff. Whatever. Fuck. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, the levels are so fun. And I do like that it really encourages you to be fucking very fast at the game.
Cool aesthetic as well.
Yeah.
Like very sort of vaporwavy. And when you do like work your run out and pull it off, it's kind of like Super Hot in that way. Like
yes.
When you nail that run in Super Hot, you get that like, yes, kind of feeling. This is the same. It's like, cool, I beat my previous time, did it in a fucking cool way.
It's Super Hot with, but it's way faster, better music, way worse. Because, I mean, Super Hot rules, there is no dialogue. Just that weird guy who talks to you on a computer in between the levels. This is.
And at no point is that guy like, ooh-woo.
You taught your daughter to say ooh-woo yet?
First word, man. What are you talking about?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I will add some classic All the Small Games typing noises here to take a look at my list of stuff. This is a game that I think in the last episode I was talking, I really wanted to play, and I finally got around to it. It's Norco. So Norco is a point and click game where...
I talked about ice cream for a while, I remember.
Yeah.
Great episode.
It's a point and click game where basically you play as a young woman returning to her hometown, which is the eponymous Norco in New Orleans, which is just... It's like a neighborhood that sits alongside an oil refinery, and it's like an ecological disaster, essentially. It's set in the future, but it's not... It's not one of those games where it's like everything's super sci-fi. There's just sci-fi touches in it, like a lot more robots around than you'd expect and that kind of thing. But it still feels very like human, I guess. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I love these kind of games, obviously, but I think just the story it told and the way it told it was fascinating. Like it kind of looks at like, what does it mean to lose religion and find religion again? And, you know, what does it mean for, like, what is home?
Right.
And you know, like, is home an actual place or is it just a concept that you carry with you and what can change that concept, et cetera, et cetera? It's got some super funny moments in it. Like, there's one point where you need to get information off a hot dog vendor and all his, like, all his stuff, he hasn't earned money off it, so it's all old food. And you convince someone to go and eat it, and then later on in the game you run into that person again and you can force them to tell you what happened after they ate the hot dog. And it's just this horribly embarrassing, like, getting diarrhea in a dumpster kind of story. But you can make this person tell it to you. It's, like, very entertaining.
What have you been playing it on?
I played on PC.
Okay.
I think it's just on PC. Or maybe it's on console as well. I'm not sure. But reminded me... I mean, a lot of people drew comparisons to Kentucky Route Zero. And I think it's just one of those things where it's like... Any point-and-click adventure that tackles serious topics is like Kentucky Route Zero. And I'm kind of like... Yes and no to a certain extent. Like, one Kentucky Route Zero element that... really occurred for me is like, as you guide dialogue, you only get one choice, and that can determine like how you view the game, which mm-hmm. which Kentucky Route Zero does very well. I think it's just a fascinating game to play through. And you know, if you, I get that point and click adventures are have now become a pretty divisive genre. You either are like, you know, we literally have the two sides of the argument sitting in this room. There's like, they're great. They tell a good narrative, and you're like, they're garbage. They're
no, slow. They can be great. That's my. I'm different. I'm just built different. All right. There's a new point and click game coming to Apple Arcade this weekend. I think that looks really good.
What's it called?
I'm gonna fucking tell you. Okay.
God damn.
What the fuck's it called?
It's called Norco, but it's a different Norco to the one you're talking about.
No, it's called No Cunt. Love You to Bits.
Okay.
Comes on the 26th of August, sorry.
Cool.
It looks really good.
Interesting.
It's charmingly cute, apparently. Purely visual, puzzle-filled point-and-click sci-fi adventure spanning all of the universe, John. Not just some shitty place in New Orleans.
Brutal. All right.
But yeah, it looks really cute. Really, really cute.
Cool. We'll have to check it out. But
And also they're making Jetpack Joyride 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
19th of August.
That's been around forever. Interesting. I'd love to see what they're doing with the number two.
Yeah. Two jetpacks.
One on the front, one on the back. You just stay in place. Yeah. Both of them fire at the same time. Anyway, look, if you like point-and-click adventures or you like narratives that really kind of make you think, then check out Norco. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I reckon it's going to be somewhere on my GOTY list.
Sick.
Yeah.
Good to hear. Trek to Yomi, another Devolver Digital published game that was developed by Leonardo something, who did The Eternal Castle, and he made it with the Serious Sam guys, so it looks fucking incredible. Yeah. It is a Akira...
I played the demo a while back. That's one of the games that I've got.
Kurosawa. Thank you. I was going to say Toriyama, but that's a Dragon Ball guy.
Yeah. I played the demo a while back. I've got the full game sitting on my laptop. I just need to like find time to play it.
So it is like, I think it's a much slower game than everyone was expecting it to be. There isn't that like sense of urgency that Eternal Castle had, where I smashed that all out in one afternoon.
Yeah.
This is like, I finish a chapter and I'm like, cool, I'm going to put this down for a while. The combat is pretty easy to remember. It's a lot of like, you know, like, yeah, thrust forward, you know, or slash, you know, it's pretty simple, and it's a lot of like dodge.
There's you get into a rhythm, directionality to it as well, like block up, block down.
And combos and things like that. Oh, of course you can block up. No wonder I'm fucking, that's the one thing I do forget, because like sometimes I just go there and I just eat shit for a while before I just remember how to not eat shit. But yeah, it's basically like, you know, like a samurai revenge tale has a little bit of supernatural elements too. It's a beautiful game, which is the main reason I'm playing it.
Super cinematic.
And the voice acting, which it's entirely in Japanese with dialogue that you can't skip at all, but the voice acting is really, really good. So the presentation wise, this game is as good as it gets.
Sure.
Gameplay is a lot simpler than I guess a lot of people were expecting. I would have loved for like, you know, it to feel less like I'm playing like a puppet show.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think they tried to walk a very realistic line.
I get why they've done it aesthetically. And it makes sense that he did this off the back of Eternal Castle. It does feel like they've like done an incredible HD port of a 1-bit game. You know what I mean? Like a whatever the fuck Eternal Castle, whatever the bits were.
Yeah.
But a very primitive, you know, PC adventure game. But yeah, it is good. There's a lot more nuance that I'm giving it credit to, but it's not, especially I think it was like I played this after playing a bunch of Elden Ring and like going from that combat to this combat, I was like, oh fuck.
Yeah, exactly. I just, you know, I think that the demo covered like the first two or three chapters. I liked how there are little nooks and crannies in the level that if you pay attention, you can like, it's like, oh, I can go in that door.
Yeah,
you go in that door and there might be an enemy in there, or there might be a pickup or something along those lines. But yeah, you're right. It's the it's 10 out of 10 for presentation and like 7.5 out of 10 for gameplay, essentially.
Yeah, it's still really good. I definitely will finish it before the end of the year, and I'm sure it will probably show up on my top 10 list too.
Yeah.
It's a game that I'm in no rush to finish, but I really enjoy it when I do play it.
Yeah, definitely.
Chopped my phone on the floor, which means it's time for you, John, to take it away.
Let's go with Citizen Sleeper. So Citizen Sleeper was the new game from the guy that produced In Other Waters.
Mm-hmm. I heard a lot of people love this game.
I can see where they're coming from. It's like the game itself is you are a... It's very like it dives into the philosophy of like body versus technology. From memory, I played this a while ago, but from memory, you are a consciousness uploaded into a robot body. You did this because you were in debt to a corporation, essentially, but then you escaped from the corporation and wound up on this like space station far from corporate space where it's a bunch of like misfits and stragglers just trying to kind of live. It's very story-based, so you kind of interact with characters and establish what they're like, you know, what their goals are and how their goals can align or misalign with your goals. It has like a dice-based mechanic to it where each day when you're healthy, you get 5 die. And the die are pre-rolled for you, so you might get like a 2, 2 5s, a 3, and a 4.
Right, yep.
And you can then apply those die to the jobs or the tasks you need to do. And obviously the higher your die, the more successful you are. Success brings, you know, might bring a bonus to what you get from the task. Failure might hurt your stamina or your health in, you know, in various ways. And it's sort of like a lot of the characters you interact with and the task and, you know, the tasks that you're given kind of look at like, okay, this is like the situation is capitalism pushed to the nth degree, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, how do you as a non-human fit into this kind of thing? I definitely enjoyed the storytelling. There was even one story that really hit me, which was a guy who's desperately trying to work enough to earn passage off this space station for him and his daughter. And in order for him to work more, you agree to take care of his kid while he's at work.
Mm-hmm.
And having just had a daughter myself, I was, you know, playing like... I immediately dropped doing all other tasks to like see.
I immediately dropped all raising my daughter responsibilities, yeah, exactly, to focus in on Citizen Sleeper.
No, I immediately like, because you might have 5, 6, 7 tasks stacked up at the same time that you decide what you want to play through first. And I immediately dropped all other tasks and focused entirely on like, I am taking care of this guy's daughter. So that was a very touching story. My one beef with it was I never felt like I was close to failure. Like, it never felt like that, because, you know, there are bars that count down like how hungry you are, and like once you lose all your kind of fullness and drop to full hunger, you start losing. No, it's once your body condition, which deteriorates every day, once it drops far enough, you start losing die, and so you can't do as many tasks during the day, and it gets, yep, a bit harder to kind of earn it up. But I always just found like I could, like, there's very rarely is there time pressure on tasks, so I could always like fix myself up and get back to doing stuff. And particularly like the more you play, the easier it becomes to take care of yourself, taking, yep, away any pressure you might have had before. And while there were some instances in the story where it's like I seem to come close to destruction, I'd always like safely veer away from that destruction at the last moment without necessarily much input from me. So I always kind of felt like I'm not trialing and erroring this game. I'm just playing through a very kind of like linear-ish experience. There are obviously moments in the narrative where I can choose to like, I align myself with this person or this person. That'll affect how the story goes. But I never felt like, oh shit, I'm going to die. Now I'll have to go back to a checkpoint and restart and try things differently, et cetera, et cetera. Which kind of robbed a little bit of the like compellingness of the game for me.
Yep.
Like, I feel if there was a dash more, oh shit, I got to think my way through this properly or else I'm fucked.
Yes.
As opposed to just like, I just got to choose one of these options and either way I'm going to turn out fine in the end. Yeah.
Yeah, well, did you finish it?
I reached the credits rolled at one point.
You ate the cake, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yep.
The credits rolled at one point, but then I kind of like, it wasn't necessarily on the end of my complete story. I still had a bunch of stuff I could do. So the credits rolled, and then I went back into the game again at the point I was at, mm-hmm. and just kept playing. And I was kind of like, am I finished? What? Why am I continuing? I saw the credits. Like, yeah, it was odd. I guess there's still more I could play, but once that first set of credits roll, I was like, I'm going to move on to other stuff now. Very compelling game, very interesting. But I went in with higher hopes than it kind of lived up to, essentially.
Right, okay, sure. I want to talk about two puzzle games that I play on the Switch. One of them is old, one of them is new. They're both about food. One of them came out in 2019. It's called In Bento. Right. And it is a game where you basically have to assemble someone's bento box. So there's basically rice down the bottom, and then patterns of fish and you know, seaweed and other toppings that you have to arrange. All of the basically like almost like little tiles in different shapes with different toppings and rice patterns on them, and you have to arrange it so like the right things overlap the other ones, so you can create what the order is.
Sure.
It's a lot simpler than a game like what was the Oink Games game last year? Tasty Tigers, Tasty Travels. Tiger Trios, Tasty Travels.
Yeah.
We all know it. We say it every day. In Bento. So during the school holidays, I had a deal where if Archie unpacked the dishwasher, I'd give him 50 cents. And I gave him 50 cents for the eShop specifically. And then he would just go on at the end of each week, just go on the eShop, look at all the things that were on sale and find a $2.50 game. This was one of those $2.50 games. And it's really, really good, relaxing. But it's not as good or relaxing as Freshly Frosted. Ooh. Do you know about this game?
No, I don't.
I think you would like it a lot. It is a beautiful pastel colored game, basically, where you are running a donut factory.
Okay.
It was published by the Quantum Astrophysicists Guild. And have you heard of them before? I've talked about some of their games in the past.
I'm very intrigued.
They made Tumblestone, Round Guard, and The Bridge.
Okay.
Round Guard is that awesome one that's kind of like Peggle. But
Gotcha.
Yeah. They're a good publisher. But Freshly Frosted.
Oh, they made Cozy Grove.
Oh shit, they did that. Yeah, right, cool.
Yeah.
Did you play that one? I can't remember.
I played a little bit on phone, and then I was like, oh shit, this is like Animal Crossing where its progress is gated to real time.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, sure.
Like, bounced out of that one real quick.
Freshly Frosted is basically you just have to like, it's a conveyor belt puzzle game.
Okay.
Where you have one machine that pumps out donuts, one that ices the donuts, one that sprinkles the donuts, one that creams the donuts, and one that puts a cherry on top of the donut. And you basically have to position the conveyor belts so that they hit the right donut machine at the right time, and then eventually go into the right boxes, because you'll have different orders that go in different boxes.
Sure.
It has this great peaceful narration that kind of like, I don't know, it's very zen kind of game. And it can be a little bit tricky to position all the conveyor belts, but when you do it, the satisfaction of watching all the donuts go and like you can speed it up, but I never want to. You want the satisfaction of watching everything going the way you want it to in your head, and then you can just watch the loop of the donuts getting made and being put in the box. It's really, really peaceful and relaxing.
Nice.
I think it's pretty cheap. And there's shitloads of levels as well.
Yeah.
Like 200 and something like this donut conveyor belt levels.
Reminds me a little bit of what was that game that I was playing? I remember at the time when I was playing it, I was like, Archie will really love this game one day. It's like an automated restaurant game.
That you talked about on the show before, right?
I have, yeah.
Automaton, Automa Kitchen.
Automa Chef,
that's right. Yeah. We got there.
A little bit more complexity to Automa Chef, but same kind of deal of like you need to work out logistic process to achieve.
Yeah, this is pure like visual puzzle game.
Yeah.
It's cool. I'd recommend this one.
Sounds good.
I'm going to pay it without the kids just so I can rock it through some levels. But it's great just to play like, you know, 5 to 10 levels in 10 minutes and then fuck it on off to the sun.
Yeah, of course. Pick up and play. Drop easy.
What else have you been playing?
Stanley Parable Deluxe.
Oh, shit. You got it.
Yeah.
Previously featured on our Patreon-only Game of the Month tier episodes last year.
Yeah. The original we had a good chat about. Super quick. It's cool. the mm-hmm. like, you can obviously play through, I think you kind of play through the standard game. You do a couple of rounds, and then as you're making your way through the office, there's like a big neon sign that's like, Stanley Parable bonus content this way! And you kind of go off, and then that starts feeding into the loop of like, you play through the first round of bonus content, and then when you go back in again, there's a voice like, psst, come here to this vent! And you go in the vent, and the narrator's like, I don't think that bonus content was very good previously, so let's try find something different. Like, it definitely feeds into its own kind of mechanic in interesting ways. I kind of just had a quick look at it when it came out. I bought it on Switch. I think if you're a fan of the original game, definitely it's something you'll enjoy kind of checking out. And you know, some of the endings I've played through, some of them go on the like really philosophical flights of fancy that the original game did. Some of them are just silly,
great,
and fun. Like, I think there's one where it's like you enter a room and it's like, stand here and jump. It's like, oh shit, you can jump now, jump. It's like, do it five more times, jump, 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 jump. Cool, you've run out of jumps. And then you just kind of like go off in the end. The narrator's like, what? That's terrible. And like restarts the game. So there's definitely some funny stuff like that in it as well. But yeah, it's the case of, if you enjoyed the first, grab this. If you've got friends that won't shut the fuck up about the Stanley Parable, play the deluxe version.
Boy, do I what?
What?
Have friends that don't shut the fuck up about Stanley Parable.
Yeah, you got anything else?
Another game that the kids picked up with their dishwasher money.
Oh, wow.
Was Daddish. Okay. Where you play a radish who is a dad,
sure,
and all your kids go missing, and so you have to rescue all your little kid radishes. Ooh. They saw it, they were like, oh, Daddish, let's get Daddish. So they bought it. It was like $1.49 or something. And it is a like pixel perfect platformer.
Oh no.
So like Meat Boy, Celeste,
sure.
Kind of stuff. And so they're like, Dad, can you come play Daddish for us? And so I, you know, spent an hour playing the first few levels of Daddish and rescued a bunch of the kids, and they get fucking lost again. they're like, oh, I was like, do you want me to keep playing? They're like, no, we'll play something else. I had a good time doing it. It's made by Cat Cup Games.
Okay.
Would I go back? I don't know. But the next day they're on the eShop and Archie goes, oh, Dad, Daddish 3's out. They made a Daddish 2. I'm like, we're not getting either of them. You can't even finish the first one.
Amazing.
Unpack the motherfucking dishwasher 300 times and I'll think about it. But yeah. Yeah, Daddish was a great game, but maybe not for a 5 and 8 year old.
Of course.
Last game I got, this is just less a game and just more great Archie anecdotes.
Sure.
For those who aren't familiar, Archie is my 8-year-old son, who loves video games despite being fucking awful at most of them. To get Stray, you could either pay 40,
he had to wash the dishes.
$40-$50 or however much it was to buy it, or I could have just like spent $30 upgrading my PlayStation Plus membership to the next tier, and that made me get Stray, you know, for quote unquote free.
Sure.
Not really. For $30, I guess. Sure. I look at it that way. But for the next year I've got this service.
Is it the one that's similar to Game Pass?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's their big kind of answer to Game Pass. It's pretty good, but I've played most of their big games already. Ooh. Which is, you know, more a me thing than a them thing. But I was very excited when I saw the game library, because there's a ton of weird indies in their library from the last decade. And I was like, I just want to let the kids loose, because Game Pass is like a little bit limited in like their games that are kid friendly.
Uh-huh.
Whereas this had shitloads of them.
Cool.
I was like, oh, I wonder which games Archie will gravitate to. And I was just scrolling through them and I was like, I bet you he gravitates to this game called I Am Bread.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
And sure enough, I like was like, hey, kids, I got this new thing. You should have a scroll through the game, see if you like any of them. And 10 seconds later, Dad, I Am Bread. What's I Am Bread? Hey, should we play I Am Bread? And so I was getting ready for work one morning and he got ready for school early. B was there too. And I was having a shower and he's like, Dad, can I use the PlayStation? And I was like, yeah, of course. And then like 5 minutes later, I just hear this screaming at the screen. And I'm like, what is going on out there? And B goes, don't worry, I'll handle it. And I came back and I just hear, it's so stupid. Why would they make a game where you just are a piece of bread? And so I Am Bread is, it's a physics-based game where you control each corner of a piece of bread. So yeah. You have to, like, you know, it's more less of a, like, you know, Untitled Bread game and more of a, what's the Bennett Foddy's Fod?
Getting over it with
Bennett Before Foddy. That, though, he made, like, one where it's, like, Q-U-B.
Oh, Quop.
Quop, yeah. And you have to basically, like, run by pushing the letter keys. It's more that kind
of
shit.
It kind of reminded me a little of Octodad.
Yeah, sure. But, yeah, he was furious at the existence of Iron Bread. Games that we are enjoying from PlayStation Plus, though, Patapon.
Okay.
And Loco Roco, which were two PSP games.
Yeah.
That are, Patapon's, like, a really, really fun, like, rhythm kind of battler. It's fucking cool, very unique.
What's the... There's one coming to PC soon that is...
Iron Bread 2.
Yeah. We need it. I am toast.
Iron Bread sooner.
No, it's like... I think it's by the guy that made... what's his name? Takahashi or something.
Oh, Keito Takahashi, the guy who'd made... made Katamari.
Yes.
Yes, his new game.
No. It's an older game. It's...
Oh, the Nobby Nobby Boy?
No, let me... Hold on.
Oh, it's the game... It's on Playdate. His Playdate game? Where you crank... Okay, wow.
Levins, shut up. I'm looking it up, okay? God damn it.
Well, I'll give you a Playdate update.
Oh, yeah. Hit us with a Playdate update.
It was meant to arrive at the start
of... Hohokam.
Hohokam. What did you just call me?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that one. Who made that?
Let me look it up. Maybe I was wrong about Takahashi.
Hohokam game.
Hohokam.
It looks like some Takahashi shit, but yeah, it's not. It's developed by Honeyslug, you fucking idiot.
Yeah. All right.
Who's Honeyslug?
Go play Dadish 4.
But yeah, I was my play date was set to arrive in Australia this week, and has not yet. I don't know.
Right.
I'm still waiting for it to get to Australia. Update. No, I logged in on the way here. And it's like, we're awaiting it in Australia.
Okay. But yeah. It's been confirmed sent?
Been shipped, yeah.
Okay,
but
cool.
It was confirmed sent like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I've had huge problems with, like, I think Ozpost have a backlog of shit they're trying to deliver.
You know my fucking feelings on Ozpost. Oh, no. They lost my care package to
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Fucking worst
we
thing.
We died of COVID because
yeah,
that
because
package
you didn't get
show up.
Metroid Dread and fucking $50 worth of gummies.
Yeah.
And then they said they would give me a refund for my purchases. And then they just blanked me and I...
Really?
I didn't call them back up.
Oh, God. I think I've got two more games to talk about. First of which, Card Shark. So that was... Card Shark was Devolver, I think.
Yep.
That's a new one by Nerial, the Reigns developers.
Mm-hmm. The Reigns guys. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
okay, sure.
So you play as a young boy in like 17th, 18th century France who gets taken under the wing of this like... basically con man slash... card cheat who kind of teaches you his ways, teaches you how to cheat at cards, and
Mad.
Then uses you to kind of enact a bit of a revenge against the nobility of France. But then as you play further, like, the story starts to get all kinds of twists and turns in it. I enjoyed the story of it. It was really interesting watching this narrative unfold, and particularly since it's kind of like it hinges on an event that over the course of the game, you get all these different takes on what actually happened during the event by various people involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
The actual mechanic itself of cheating at cards felt very like QuickTime event-ish. You know, a lot of it was like, you need to mark where the card is, so push the joystick up sort of thing.
Okay.
And as you play through, it starts to like combine various cheating methods together. The thing is, if you've put like, I found that I was like putting the game down, like I'd have shit to do, and then I'd play it during lunch while I was at work, and then when I got home, I would hang out with my wife and daughter, and then daughter would go to bed, and wife and I would watch something on TV, and then once that was finished, I'd go to bed as well. I'd come back to it the next day and be like, God damn, I've forgotten what I'm supposed to... How the controls work for this thing I was doing kind of thing. Like, I've lost sort of my rhythm with how
right,
this is working.
Yeah.
Particularly since there are like 28 cheating methods that you learn over the course of the game.
And how what do you do to do a cheating method? Is it like a... Like a fighting input or something?
No. You never actually did like... As you go into these various games that you play, the con man that you hang out with is like, okay, for this one, we're going to use this method.
Right.
And so before you actually play the card game, he'll explain to you the cheat and give you time to practice it. And then you'll go to the card game and you'll just play it like you almost are not playing cards, you're just playing the cheat.
Oh, okay, sure.
And so it might be, very rarely do you have to kind of think on your feet with it. But towards the end, it really gets a lot more complex, especially when you're like working out how to stack a deck so that when you shuffle it and deal the cards, it deals in a certain way. And there were definitely times where I was frustrated, like, you're not explaining this to me properly. I'm just trying to guess based on what the outcome of what I'm doing is, right, sure. Which got very frustrating. There is a cool mechanic, though. If you're like, if you die, you go to the afterlife where you have a conversation with death and you can cheat her at cards to get back to life again, which is really interesting and funny. But then it's like, I think I did that a couple too many times, and you reach a point where it's like, you're invited to cheat, but you have no way to know how to cheat because all the cards just have skulls on them. And it's like, if you lose this hand, we will wipe your save game. And I was like, okay. And I never went through with it because at that point I started just quitting out of the game whenever I failed and reloading from an early, like, I save scummed.
I wonder if they actually would.
I'm curious. I was curious, but not curious enough to restart all of my progression through this game that I was not enjoying enough to be like, cool, send me back to the start again kind of thing.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting that game to have like an inscription level takeover of games, people talking about games, but it didn't really do that, did it? Not much of an impact.
It definitely, like, the art of it is beautiful, and the music, for, you know, being what it is, like, very kind of Baroque French, you know, classical music. The presentation is very good. The overall gameplay, the presentation is very good. The narrative I found really compelling, but the overall gameplay, I was a bit like,
the fuck is this?
Yeah, not the fuck is this, but just like, you're asking me, it would be like a fighting game, but instead of just having simple inputs like punch, every move was a combo that you had to remember. And obviously, if you're not playing the game continuously and keeping these combos in your memory, you very quickly are like, what the fuck am I supposed to do at this point?
Right,
like,
yeah, sure.
Oh, shit,
yeah.
I've already lost before I've started, essentially.
Where are the sharks?
Yeah. Not a lot of sharks in this. I'm going to go play Maneater instead. And I'm like, this needs more cards in it. And then the final game I have to talk about, and this is a strong contender for number one on my Game of the Year list.
Why are you saving it to the very end of the episode?
And you're going to hate me for this. But I'll lay the scene. The car that we have, we park on the street under a tree. And so over the months of rain that we've had, it's just become crusted with scum, essentially. And so two weekends ago, I was like...
Which platform is this on?
It's Hyundai. 2 weekends ago, I was like, Joe, can we go to your parents' place? I know they have a pressure washer. I just want to clean the car. The look of resignation that just crossed
Levinson's
face.
I was like, where's this guy going?
Anyway, so I did that, and this is while I was playing Stray, and so I washed the car and was... Have you ever pressure washed something?
Yeah, I have. I own a pressure washer. You could have come visit me instead.
So
see your parents all the time.
The satisfaction I took from like cleaning my car with this thing. So I got home that night, I was like, I'm just going to check...
Wait, that's a pressure cooker? Pressure washer. I have a pressure washer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just going to check.
I have one, John.
Yeah,
I keep it under the house.
I propped my car in a pressure cooker, Levins. I was like, I'm just going to check Game Pass real quick. And of course, Power Wash Simulator popped up.
Yep.
And I was like, all right, I had fun today. Download. I'll give it a little 5-minute taste, and then I'll go back to Stray and my little cat and finish the thing I'm in. I've played nothing but Power Wash Simulator at home for 2 weeks now. Like,
oh, because I was wondering, because I get the notifications that I used to get like last year all the time that you've got your Xbox on, and I didn't happen for like almost all this year, and now it's happening every night.
Well, it's because we got a new TV that's a smart TV. We no longer use the Xbox as an entertainment platform.
Yep.
So I literally only turn it on to play games. And I have been so addicted to Power Wash Simulator.
Yeah, wow, okay. Do you think... that sounds like a game Archie would love too, huh?
I find it very therapeutic the way it's like, I'm spraying, dirt's going away.
He spent hours on a lawn mowing game on his phone once.
Then give it...
I had to delete it because all he was doing was a lawn mowing game.
Let him take a rip at it.
Yeah,
and see what he thinks. But it's just like, It is satisfyingly simple gameplay with just enough complexity that you need to, like, you can't just go fully mindless. You have to think about, like, switching nozzles and all that kind of stuff. There is this constant feedback loop of, like, I compare it a lot to Stardew Valley in that the addiction comes from it takes this big thing and breaks it down into tiny little things. So Stardew Valley, you're always like, all right, it's a new day. I need to water these crops. I need to pick these crops. I need to go see this person. I need to do this. Completing all of that completes the day. And you're like, oh, but the next day I've got to do this. So I'll just start the next day and I'll do
this. Sure, yeah.
With this, it's like, you need to wash a van. But the van is like headlights, wheels, rims, roof, doors, etc. Every time you wash one of these off with thing, you get a ding and a little bit of money goes in your account. So it's this constant drip feed of, oh, I'm achieving something. I'm achieving something. I'm achieving something. Oh, I'll just jump into this next job real quick, because once I get the money from that job, I can buy the next most powerful power washer, essentially, which will help me do that. Like, I just get stuck in this loop. And I've been trying to be good about going to bed, but like since Power Wash Simulator came along, if I'm in bed before 11:30, it's a freaking miracle. I checked yesterday. I've played through 25 levels of this game, and it just keeps throwing new jobs at me.
Mad.
Like, I don't know how far this goes. I'm honestly I'm reaching a point where I'm like, is this going to wrap up soon? Because I'd love to switch off and play something different. But until it does, I'm just locked into this game. I'm enjoying it so much, essentially. And there are all these little, like, because obviously the sort of narrative structure of the game is you run a power washing business, people contact you about jobs. And so there are all these little narrative threads happening where it's like the mayor of the town has lost his cat. And so like the entire fire department is searching for his cat, but maybe the cat is just a cover up for something like kind of corrupt that he's doing on the side.
Okay. And so that's bizarre to me. That's a story at all. That's great.
But it's not like there's no cutscenes. There's no anything like that. It's just as you're doing these jobs, little text messages pop up on the side of the screen that like might tell you a little bit more about the job you're doing.
I really like that. You
a little bit of a like insight into what's happening in the town you're in.
Yep.
You know, there's this other guy who the first job I did for him was like cleaning an underground drill in the kind of like, you know, the underminer from Incredibles, like that kind of thing. And now he's just, I'm cleaning his jet at the moment. And his jet has like a laser on it and like anti-gravity panels and all this stuff. And he's like, let me break down this jet for you. Like,
oh man.
Like, what's going on with this guy? It's just ages ago. I had the thought of like, someone should make a pressure washing game because it's such an enjoyable thing to do in the real world that it would translate really well to digital. And these guys have just nailed every little like touch point where it's like, there's enough difference in equipment to keep it interesting in terms of thinking about how you tackle the game. They've nailed that mindless fun of like, I'm spraying and the surface I'm spraying is showing up as clean next to the dirty
color.
Surface.
Yeah,
so it gives you that kind of that visual appeal. There's enough of a little bit of narrative going on the side, and they've worked out the loop of reward versus work perfectly. It's I can't remember who developed it. I know it's published by Square Enix's indie arm.
Right.
Because I do social media for Twitch ANZ.
Yep.
And the other day I was like, hey, client, can I just make a bunch of power wash memes and post them? And they were like, all right, go ahead. And they did super well.
That's
and
great.
Like, actually the development team and Square Enix have been like, great memes, guy. Like, kind of hounding me about, hey, you guys made good memes.
Future Lab.
Yeah. Look, if you have Game Pass,
I just downloaded it.
Grab this. I think I'd be very curious to find out in 3 to 4 months what Archie thinks of this game.
Yeah. Well, that's the end of this beautiful catch-up with your two beautiful boys.
Yes.
All the small games.
Marathon.
Second episode for the year. Can you believe it, John? Gee, it's been a long journey.
It has.
So I guess we'll try and hang out again in
October-ish,
maybe?
Yeah, late October, early November.
Or even like, it could be like, you know, two episodes close to each other. One of them is the best of the year. One of them is everything we've played in the lead-up to the best of the year.
True. Or we record tomorrow. It's a very short episode.
Well, like, who knows?
Played anything else?
No.
See ya.
But thanks so much for listening. If you do miss the show and you want a bunch of episodes that maybe you haven't listened before, there's about 10 hours of extra episodes over at patreon.com/allthesmallgames. Even if you just want to toss us a dollar or two to say thanks for the episodes, we appreciate it. You know, we do miss doing the show weekly, but our lives are a lot happier now. Yes. That we're not because we hated doing the show or anything, just because of the amount of work that went into having
and full-time worker.
Yeah, but also like, yeah, trying to like play enough games to warrant doing a new episode each week was fucking exhausting.
Yeah.
Not to mention the editing and posting and blah, 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 blah. But it's great to be able to hang out with each other and record an episode that hopefully people enjoy listening to.
Yes.
If you would like to come and join a Discord, we have a Discord. I'm going to make it public, I think.
Cool.
I don't know how to do that, but I'm going to figure it out.
It turns into an alt-right meeting place very quickly.
But if you can't find our Discord, just send us an email to allthesmallgames@gmail.com and I'll add you to our Discord because we'd love to have you there if you love indie games. And if you want to check out some of my other podcasts, there's only one now, Hey Fam, and I record it every single week with my friend Angus Truscott. This week we just put an episode up where we talked about the movie Prey, which is real good.
I've heard really good things.
Plus we eat the new Domino's cheeseburger pizza.
Right. I've heard nothing.
What do you think I'm sitting out of 10 score?
Oh, probably 4?
I'm actually pretty high up. I'm like 7-ish, I think.
Whoa.
For a Domino's pizza, that's about as high as it gets, I think.
God damn,
I was really satisfied with that cheeseburger pizza. No shitty Domino's tomato sauce, I think, is the big key to why I like it. That's super sugary tomato.
What's the base?
It's just like a white cheese base, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it works, man.
Interesting.
Don't run out and get it. But if you're like fucking hammered and someone's like, should we get pizzas? Be like, oh, throw a fucking cheeseburger one on there. Yeah. Pickles on the pizza.
Interesting.
It's a vibe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But besides that, is there anything else you've been doing that you want to give a shout out to? You fucking ass. Yes, there is.
What?
You wrote a book. A zine.
A book. Yes, I have returned to the world of making zines after, God, a good like 2-3 year hiatus. My previous zine, I made weird little comics out of clip art,
mm-hmm.
very much an homage to stuff like Christopher Reeves and his Get Your War On and My New Fighting Technique and My New Filing Technique Are Unstoppable. This new one is probably a bit more in keeping with what I actually do for a day job. I wrote a bunch of ad scripts for like fake products and services and businesses. Just with, you know, I was like, I just want to make this as weird and funny as possible.
Yep.
Whose
idea was it?
I mean, writing scripts, was it? Yeah, I sent the first script I wrote to Levins, and Levins was like, wouldn't this be great if it was a zine? And I was like, fuck you, man, fine, I'll do it, someone has to. But no, it was really like, I had such a good time just like writing all this stuff and then dealing with the logistical problems that came up from like, because my previous zines were just like, go to Officeworks, print black and white, staple, done.
Yeah.
But this, I was like, I've done scrappy, I want to do quality. So I did like glossy, like, you know, decent weight cover and like color images inside and proper light. Like, I learned to use Photoshop a lot better than I did during my previous run. And yeah, it's just fun. It's I guess hit me up through my socials at 16 tacos on Twitter and
right, so yeah, or through the All the Small Games Discord.
Yep, hit me up there as well if you want to buy a copy. They're $10 Australian, and I handle postage.
Oh, great!
Which means I make no money off this.
None whatsoever.
Yeah.
How many have you made?
I mean, I made initial run was like 20, but if there's demand for it, then I can definitely
Let's do a second run of these motherfuckers, everybody.
Whip up some more.
We'll put some samples in the Discord too, for people to read.
Definitely. Other than that, it's just taking care of a fractious 15-month-old kid, which is fun. Love it to death. But
sick.
Oh boy. What about yourself?
I've got a couple of mixes about to upload onto my other Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/levdog. Where I basically make a mix every single month. I've got another Japanese city pop mix uploading in the next week. And after that, I am making a mix all productions by one of our favorite producers from about 10 years ago called Bangladesh.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I've been sitting on this idea for a while. And then after that, I'm going to do a Mike Will Made It one too. Two of my favorite hip-hop producers. They're going to be fucking awesome mixes to listen to. Because I was like driving home the other day and none of my favorite Bangladesh productions are on streaming services.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you know that song Bingo by Charlie McEnroe? That's Charlie McEnroe. Bingo, that's my car. It's not even on fucking YouTube.
Sure.
I reckon the only other existence of this song besides my computer is a mix CD I made you 15 years ago.
Right.
But yeah, I'm going to make lots of mixes very, very soon. So yeah, if you want some more music from me, or some music from me to begin with, patreon.com/levdog. I'm also, if you live in Sydney, I've curated a massive festival called Cherry Blossom Festival, which is happening at the end of this month in Auburn in Western Sydney. Basically curated. I'm going to be DJing every single day for 9 days with some other guests, also playing Japanese city pop. There is a mini golf course that we've set up that is all based off of like Japanese designs. It's outdoor in a botanic garden. There's a bar. I've booked kids entertainment, including a program called Awesome People Reading Books, which John is one of the awesome people coming to read books. I bought a ton of Japanese picture books, which lots of different people will be reading. I also helped curate the food, and there's some fucking awesome collaborations between different restaurants and food trucks at this festival. It's going to be sick.
That sounds very cool.
Plus the cherry blossoms, they're going to be blooming. Damn. So yeah, many reasons to come check this out. I'd love to see you there if you live in Sydney. Hey, thanks so much for listening so much.
Where can you be found online, Levins?
Everything is at Levins online now.
Damn.
I can't remember if we recorded before or after I had my COVID meltdown and decided to change my online.
Rebranded.
My Patreon is the only thing that still maintains at LevDog.
I'm sick of dogs. It's time to be online.
But yeah, I'm famous on TikTok now too.
Yeah.
150,000 followers. Don't know how that happened, but it did.
I ignore TikTok, Levs. It's too new for me. I can't handle
it. That's the way I thought. But then as soon as I started posting, I started getting better reactions there than any other social media. It took me 1 month to get the same amount of followers that I've gotten on Instagram in 15 years.
Right. Wild. Yeah, you do. I mean, you do.
I'd be buying all kinds of stupid shit, which is what I make videos about. So.
That's basically.
Yeah, if you want to see videos of toys and books and comics and all the insane shit I buy.
Your one about like what comics you need to read to understand the latest Thor movie was compelling in the number of twist endings it had.
Yeah, it made a lot of people very angry too.
It would have been fantastic if it was like, if you really want to understand it, thump the Bible.
Yeah. Nordic edition.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm at Levins online on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, the works, and John is at 16tacos. Again, you can email the show allthesmallgames@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Hit us up in the Discord about what you thought about the episode and what about which games you've been playing too.
You can also follow the show. I've just been doing some shit posting on
you
there lately. I'm not sure
he has not been limiting himself to Power Wash Simulator memes.
Not sure if you've seen, but yeah, we're at All The Small Game on Twitter. Yeah, yep. Follow us there if you want to see me having random thoughts about indie games.
Fucking who wouldn't? Thanks so much for listening, everybody. See you next time, whenever that may be.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.